Valley 104.9 goes behind the scenes with former King County Councilperson Kathy Lambert every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. as part of Valley 104.9's Community Talk and Info Sundays.
Welcome, and I'd like to thank you for joining today for Behind the Scenes with Kathy Lambert. We're going to start with some basics today. We're going to talk about how do you find out who your legislators are and what legislative district you are in, and also how to find information and various sources. So let's begin. And the way that we're going to begin is to ask you to get online and go to www.leg.wa.gov. That is the Washington Legislative Washington Government website. And it has lots of information for you that I think will be very helpful. And so we're going to navigate around through it and help you to feel more comfortable in being on this site. So the first thing is to go up to look at what are the rosters. What are the lists of the people that are in the legislature? What committees are they on? What districts are they from? What counties that is? And who are their legislative assistants? All of the legislators get one assistant to help them. And sometimes when emails come in fast and furiously, it is a lot of work, but it gives you all this good information. So it shows you first the House and the Senate. So if you wanted to find out who your House members are, each district has two House members and one senator. So there are 98 members of the House because there are 49 districts in the state. And there is one member from each of the districts that is in the Senate. So you have one senator and two House of Representatives members. So each district has three members. So let's start by going and hitting the green bar, the link that says House. And that will open up to who are the House members. So you can look at a variety of ways, the member, what party they belong to, what district they are, what position. So they're either position one or position two. Where's their office, their phone number, their email? The LA is a legislative assistant. And what is the LA legislative assistant's email? And then below that, it says committee members by member. And so it tells you what members on which committee. So you not only have your own two members in the House, but anybody that is on a committee that pertains to your topic is really important. And you can contact any of the members of the legislature. You can also call an 800 number, and that 800 number, you can leave messages specifically for your members of the House of Representatives or the Senate. And you can tell them, I want an answer back in writing or by email, or I don't really care for an answer back. I just wanted to give you that information. So if you have a particular topic or particular bill in mind, you find out which committee is going to have that topic and look at the committee list, and then you can contact all of those members. And then it is the committees and then members by district and counties. And who's in leadership? And that's very important. Who's in leadership? Because it's leadership that makes many decisions. Who's going to be on what committee? I was on the committee of committees one year that got to decide that. And then also had a leadership position. And so the leadership gets to decide what bills come to the floor, what order they come to the floor. So it's very important. So if you have a bill that you are very passionate about or you really want to see passed, making sure that people in leadership know that that's very important to you is also important. So let's start up with the members of the House. So go to the right side and hit in the box House. Now you'll notice that all of the members are listed in alphabetical order. And then after the name is an R or a D, and that shows whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. If there were any members that were independent, they would have an I after them. We don't have anybody that is listed as an independent at this point. And then the next column is the district, and we can look at a district map to see where all the districts are. There's really no rhyme or reason to where the districts are located. You might find District 5 right next to District 45. So you have to be really specific when you're looking at the map. And of course, these districts change every 10 years after redistricting. So every 10 years, as you know, there's a census, which accounts everybody in our state, and then a group of people get together and decide how they will divide as evenly as possible the number of people in the state so that each district would have about 120,000 members to represent. When I was on the King County Council, I had a district of 200 and a little over 250,000 people, much bigger district. But because there are so many members of the House and the Senate, the districts, for the most part, are not that large. The interesting thing is, in some of rural Washington, the districts geographically are humongous because there are not as many people living in those areas. So there are a lot of things going on with the redistricting map every 10 years. In our state, the Republicans pick some people to be on it, and the Democrats pick two people to be on it, and then the four of them select the fifth person. And so those are the people that work together with the numbers. Each legislator and citizen can give input. I would really like to be in this district or that district, mostly because I know my legislators or these people on these committees are in my district, and those are important to me. As a legislator, some of the things that were important to me was that I had an entire city so that when something came in as an issue, say for Redmond, I knew that that was my city. Or I know one time after redistricting, Woodinville went to having three different people that had parts of Woodinville. And that was very difficult because nobody knew, is that my part of Woodinville, or is it your part of Woodinville, or is it your part? Oh, let's look at the map, see what that address is. Oh, that's yours, and I was working on it, or I know that person. And so how the redistricting is done is very important. You can watch it. It's complicated. It's political. And recently we had a situation where one of the districts down around the Tri-Cities area was redistricted, and Senator Tories has been going through a very long, hard process where she was redistricting with some issues. It's another long story for another day, but you can get online and look at the story about what's happened in that district with Senator Tories. So I've talked to the senator. She's a delightful human being, working hard. So because they redistricted the boundaries of her district, it also made some ramifications for other districts. So hopefully when the redistricting goes on the next time, we will have more input in exactly how we are going to do this. And again, some of my input would be that you keep a district that has boundaries that are the full city as much as possible, or a full county as much as possible, in the smaller areas, so that people actually get an opportunity to know their district really, really well, and know who is in their district without having to take a map and go, oh no, I think that this is your district. So enough about district and redistricting. So the numbers are all over the place. And of course, because there are 49 districts, the numbers go up to 49. The next column is position. And as I told you, in the House, there are two positions, first one and second one. So those will only be number one or number two. The next column is room. JLOB stands for the O'Brien building. And so John L. O'Brien was his name, and he was Speaker of the House, wrote a very interesting book. And we talked one day about writing books. So John and I, Speaker O'Brien and I, switched our books. So that was kind of fun to read his book, and he read mine. So that is then on the fourth floor. And so you can tell what floor it is by the first number. And then if it has a letter like A or C or B or D after it, it tells you it's a smaller room and there will be an A, a B, or C, or however many little rooms they have carved up. The next is the phone number. Everybody has a 360786 number in the House. And so that makes it easy. You just can remember the last four digits when you're calling down there. Next is their email. And you can see that the emails are very simple. It follows the form, their first name dot last name at ledge, again, leg.wa.gov. So everybody has the same email format, and you could see that in the column. The next one is who is their legislative assistant. And that is a very important person. And that person keeps the schedule. They decide how long somebody has time to visit with you. They read all the materials while people are in meetings. So these are valuable, valuable people, and good for you to get to know and for them to know you so they know what your expertise is. I always ask people what their expertise was so that when an issue came up, I could call them and say, hey, would you look at this and see if there's anything in particular that stands out to you that you think I should look more into? And people used to laugh, how did you think of that? And it wasn't that I thought about it. It just, I knew people in my district who had various expertises, and they often came up with really good ideas that made excellent policy additions. So their emails are the same format, their first name dot last name at ledgewall.gov. So now you know, and you can hyperlink into those and directly send them an email should you wish to do that. So that's the first thing, is getting to know how you correspond with your legislative person. So if you go back up to the top on the left, you'll see that the word House is a dark green, and next to it, it's a light green, and that's the Senate. So if you hit the Senate button, now you'll see the members of the Senate. They do not have a position column because there's only one for each district. So obviously they're number one. So it tells you what at the same format and the room, and there's various names like Ledge, it's the legislative building. And these are all right around the Capitol. And so you can find, there's lots of maps around, and those will be easy then to see what room, what floor they're on, phone numbers, their emails, their legislative assistant, and then again, the legislator's assistant's email. So that is the way that you can find who they are. Then you can also, if you don't know what your district is, and I hope you do, but if you don't know, the right below it, it says find your district, the left side, the third down. So you put in your address, and then below that, there's a bar that says find my district, and it gives you two options, so legislative and congressional. So the legislative is obviously the one that is in the legislature, which is in Olympia. The other one is your congressional district, and that would, of course, be the people that represent us in Washington, D.C., our senator and House members for the federal government. So we're on the legislative one, and if you hit that, you can see where all of the districts are. You can use the control button to go in and zoom in to see exactly where your district is. You want to go then to the congressional district. You can see where your congressional district is. And for most of the people that are probably listening right now, we are either in District 1 or 8 for our congressional districts if you live in the area around the Puget Sound. So those are how you find out whose district you are in. And then you can go back up and look at their name in the House and the Senate and send them an email. Now, what are you going to say to them? So let's go down a little bit further to where it says bill information on the left side of the screen. Hit that, and it will give you lots of information here. So that's why I want to walk through it with you so that you aren't overwhelmed. So if you look at searching by a bill, you'll see that there is a white box that says bill number. So if we were to put a bill number in there, I'll just make up a number. Any four-digit number. And then it will be a bill or an initiative. And in one of our talks, we talked about initiatives. So I hope you've heard that one. But so that I can reinforce that there will be initiatives. There'll be four initiatives on the ballot in November. It's very important you get to do these, become familiar with the initiatives. They were specifically written to be very simple and very short. You won't find the initiatives being hundreds of pages long. They're very short because they wanted people to understand clearly exactly what change they wanted from the rules that were passed in the last legislative session. So you keep the green one on the bill, and then you get an opportunity to either look at the last legislative session, or you can do the down arrow, which will show you other legislative sessions that go all the way back to 1991. So you can look back and see what somebody did in the years past. in 1995 to 96 is a cool year to think about, because in that year, the legislature changed over from being very much one party for about 40 years into being more balanced. And during that time, it changed who was in the majority in the House. And I tell people that I felt in 1995 like my great aunt Matilda had died, and now I had to clean up her estate, and in came a big box of her bills that she hadn't opened in a year. And that was the feeling I had, should I have had an Aunt Matilda, when we first got into the majority in the House, because many things were not in the kind of orderliness that I felt we needed, and so did all the other members. So we did a lot of work in that session. You'll see that it's got 2 years, and that's because it's called a biennium. It's a two-year cycle. All the legislators come up for a vote to be reelected every 2 years. And in the Senate, it's every 4 years, but in the House, it's every 2 years. But we do go by the bienniums. So something could be what we call dropped. It means started. A bill is dropped, started in a biennium, the first or second year. But if it's dropped, like in this one, 2023, it still stays good into the 2024. That's why it's listed both years. So if a bill doesn't get passed, or they want to do a study on it, or whatever they decide, the bill is still sitting there. So you may think at the end of a session, whew, I'm so glad that bill didn't get passed. But you need to be very aware that that bill is still what they call alive into the next year. So there are a lot of terms that people use in Olympia that may sound violent, like the bill died, or it's not alive, or I'm going to kill your bill. Those are just terms that are used, but they are not violent. Of course, some people feel like if their bill doesn't get through that it feels violent. But when you hear those terms, don't be alarmed if they have specific meaning. So the bill is dropped, which means that in the old days, it was put into something that looked like a mailbox. And one of the old boxes is over in the state library, so people can see it downstairs. But of course, nowadays it is filed electronically, but we still use the old word of it being dropped. So you can search then for the bill. So if you look, they say pre-file bills. That means that before the session has started, and this is a really good idea, is that you, if you're working with somebody and you know that you want them to do a bill, to get it pre-filed during the summer, where the legislature and the legislative staff has more time to really work on the issue. And then they can file it before the beginning of session. They also have, in the beginning of December, a meeting where they have all the new members as well as the old members get together to get to know each other, but also to talk about any old bills that are still pending, and also pre-file bills. So in a new session, where after people had been newly elected, of course, there would be no pending bills because it'd be the beginning of a new biennium. But pre-file bills are very important so that you get your opportunity to talk to other legislators and different people that you'll be meeting at those meetings to talk about your bill. And that's really important. So pre-file bills are the bills that are going to be available early on in the session and hopefully be one of the first things to be discussed. So then the next is House introductions, what was introduced in the latest, so that you can see what legislator dropped what on the latest, so that you see what came in. And that's really important. Legislators, as well as people interested in what's going on, can look at that and find out what's going on. As I mentioned in one of my other briefings to you, as a legislator one day, I looked at one of the intros for the day and I realized in looking at it that it was very flawed. It had a lot of problems and it had to do with banking. And I had been in banking for a number of years. And when I read the bill, I was like, oh my goodness. So I saw the banking lobbyist in the elevator when I was going to another meeting. And I said, well, I knew I was going to see you today because of the horrible bill that got passed. Because the lobbyist knew that there were several of us who had been in the banking industry. And because they knew that, that would be the likely people they would come to say, oh, we need help. This is not well done. So There was another man at the time, Bernie, and Bernie was a excellent banker, and it was a delight to work with him because he also had a deep knowledge of banking. So I expected that Bernie and I would hear from them, and of course I saw them. They hadn't heard about the intro yet, and so they went over to look at it. In those days, we had a bill room. Now they just get on their computer. But anyway, they went over to look at it, came back and said, yes, we need help. That is a terrible bill. So it's important the sooner that you or your legislator find out that a bill that's been dropped is got issues that are needing additions, corrections, subtractions, whatever, the better, so that it doesn't get too far into the process in a state that is not perfected, is what we call. So then the next down is the bill status report. Where are the bills, in what process? And we'll be talking a little bit more about the process of a bill. So basically, once a bill is dropped, then it goes to leadership and they decide what will be the standing committee. So there are lots of standing committees. If you now hit the standing committee reports, so there are lots of committees, and you can look at what dates the committees meet, and that would be really helpful. So if you have a particular bill that you're following, you want to know what standing committee it will go to, and they will tell you which committee it will be in. Again, then you can go back and look who is the chair of that committee, and then be able to look at all the committee members so you can follow up with them. The next is the House Floor Activity Report. What kinds of things will they be talking about on the floor? That is the final steps, pretty much, of a bill being passed. That does not really get much activity until the end time of the session, because it has to go through the full process before it gets either to the House floor or the Senate floor. The next is the conference committee reports and how they are working that. The process is different from when I was in the legislature. The conference committee is when a bill has lots of issues, they will send it out to a group of people to try to figure out what needs to happen. When I was in the legislature, were concerned about how conference committees would do some things that were not very transparent. And so we didn't do conference committees. We just made sure that people worked it out in public in the committee so that everybody knew what was going on, because there were experiences that were less than okay. So I'm not following the conference committees as they're doing it right now, but that is what it is. Then you can also search by topic. So if you know a particular issue, you can hit bills by topic. You would then, again, the biennium, which means a two-year cycle. Most of the time, it'll be the current one. And you can search by bill number, by initiative, or by subject. So it's normally the subject, so that's highlighted. And then in the bar, you can put down what your subject is, and they have a huge list that you can scroll down and look at, and then hit the search button to see what bills pertain to your particular topic. So that is very helpful to see what is pending. And if you do, as I said earlier, have a particular topic, interest, or expertise, letting your legislator know that you have that expertise is really, really important. One of my favorite experiences was we were trying to do a bill on how you would deal with being in a boat accident. And I was trying to write the law so that it would be the same as what you would do in your car if you were in an accident. And as I was going to the meeting, I got a phone call, and a man in my district said, you need to add the word in the air. And I'm like, what? And he's, most boat accidents do the most damage after the boat has been hit and goes in the air and lands on either another boat or a dock or such. So it needs to be if they hit in the water or in the air. And everybody laughed when I asked for the amendment, but because I had talked to the man who was an insurance expert, we were able to clarify that in a way that we were surprised, but it made better policy. So be aware that your expertise only makes the laws better. These are your laws, and we want to make sure that they're right. The next thing is bill tracking. Where is the bill right now? And searching documents. Then below that is bill RCW session law cross-reference. So the bills are the ideas that are coming forward. And then the RCW is called the Revised Code of Washington. And the Revised Code of Washington are laws that are already on the books. Bills are ideas that they're trying to get into the Revised Code of Washington. Once a bill has been passed and it's in the Revised Code of Washington, it is then sent to the agency that has to do whatever that is. And then they write the administrative code that implements the RCW. And there was a committee, I don't know if it still meets, but it was called the JLARC committee. And I chaired that committee for a while. And the committee had to look at what the agency wrote to see if it was the same as what the law said or intended. And I will tell you that there were days on that committee when we laughed hysterically, and days when we wanted to scream, and days when we were just totally amazed, because it was very interesting how much got thrown into administrative law code that wasn't really RCW. And then we would have to go back to the agency and remind them that you took a lot of license in writing these administrative rules when the RCW did not give you the right to do such. And so the various groups would come and say, you know, I'm having a problem with this agency because they have gone way further than the RCW, or they've made some changes that they shouldn't have. So that's what the RCW is. And then there's the legislative digests, which are summaries of the bills. And they're usually fairly short so that you can look at the digest, and that would tell you what is in which chapter of a bill. And so you can then know, I want to read page 10, or I want to read page 15 or 200 or whatever, so that it can speed up what you're doing. And in one of our meetings, I will share with you how to read a bill and the digest. Then there's the House floor calendar, and that is the schedule. There are two sessions. There's the first session of the year, which is a 90-day session, and that is the session where the budget is written, and so it's a little bit longer. And then the next year, it's a 60-day session, because the purpose there is to correct or deal with anything that has come up in the last year that needs to be changed or modified in the budget, to reevaluate what the revenue is supposed to be, so that you are able to make sure that everything that you put in the budget or in law is working. Then there's initiative and referenda. And the initiatives then, of course, are, and the referenda are opportunities for the citizens to say, I don't like what you passed. And if you can get enough signatures, which is around 350,000, to say, yes, this is not a good piece of legislation. And then it goes through the either the initiative or referenda process. And then at the bottom is a great tutorial on how a bill becomes law, which we will do in another one of our sessions. So we'll take a break right there. You have now gone through the first part of LegWaGov. And that will help you to know how you can get in and get information that you need as quickly as possible. So we will stop there. Thank you.
Kathy will be back next week with another new episode of Behind the Scenes, right here on Valley 104.9 Northwest Eclectic.